Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. An encouragement to all of you to go out and vote if you haven't done so already, and to pick up a copy of Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith. It is our premium offer for the month, available to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I want to use the better part of this broadcast today, if not all of it, to discuss a headline I saw on the front page of the Wall Street Journal this morning. The headline read as follows: Pope backs civil unions for gay couples. Well, the Pope's remarks chronicled in the article are not considered official papal teaching. They are problematic. Here's what he said: homosexuals have a right to be part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. And as the Pope famously said elsewhere, who am I to judge? Now think about this for a moment. This is the head of the largest body of Christians in the entire world. If he can't judge such matters rightly, who can? And while the Bible makes plain that Christians are never to judge self-righteously or hypocritically, they are most certainly called to judge. As our Lord himself exhorted, we are to judge, but when we do so, we're to do so rightly. And what that means with respect to same-sex sexuality, and that in all of its various permutations, is the call to reject that which God clearly rejects. And this is no trifling matter. This is a matter that has to do with Christian anthropology. It's one thing for a Supreme Court justice to redefine the nature of marriage and with it familial relationships. But it is quite another for the Roman pontiff to do so as well. You know, I've often said on this broadcast that there are essentially three building blocks of civil society. There's marriage, there's the church, and there's government. And all three rest atop the foundation of human life. But of those three, none is more significant than marriage. And according to a consensus of sociological metrics, women and men enjoy strategic, and the operative word here is strategic, complementarity. As such, both are essential to the rearing of children. And I should add to what the Pope refers to as family. Fathers challenge their progeny in developmentally vital ways that mothers simply cannot. And mothers provide care and nurture in ways that fathers cannot. Social science statistics are unambiguous. They support the strategic significance of gender-differentiated parenting. Neither mothers nor fathers are replaceable in the process. to assuage the dangers inherent in same-sex parenting, as well as same-sex civil unions, I would say is singularly short-sighted. As has been insightfully noted, marriage protects. It reflects. It reinforces the powerful complementary and reproductive part of our natures. As such, marriage is a comprehensive union of our bodies and our minds, our emotions and our souls, the proper end of which, of course, is children. For the health of a civil society, both mother and father are absolutely necessary. I remember some time ago quoting Barack Obama on this very point. He famously said, and this was before he succumbed to the PC thought police, he said, "We know the statistics. We know that children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty, 5 times more likely to commit crime, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. They're more likely to have behavioral problems, to run away from home, to become teenage parents themselves." And then he said, "The foundations of our community are weaker because of it." I could not imagine that he would say the same thing in 2020. It's not too much to say that opening the door to the acceptance of civil unions within the church is tantamount to opening Pandora's box. It ultimately spells the death knell to civil society. It erodes the rational basis for rejecting aberrations that range from group marriage and polygamy to incest. Promoting the legitimacy of same-sex civil unions within the body of Christ, well, I guess it's sort of like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued. So in the end, the Roman Pontiff's personal approval of same-sex civil unions undermines the very foundation of human civilization. And by the way, given the pontiff's reasoning, it's hard to imagine how other aberrations, polyamory, polygamy, polyandry, even pedophilia, will not likewise end up being blessed by the church. After all, as the pontiff put it, who am I to judge? If there's no special virtue in opposite-sex relationships, and that within a sacramental marriage, is there any magic in the number 2? And why arbitrarily assign 18 as the magical age of consent? My point is that once we abandon the biblical definition of family, there's simply no limit on where unsanctified passions may lead us. I think we're faced with incredible temptations today. When I come back from the break, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that there's a temptation to yield to cultural norms. And that temptation, well, it's going to continue to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And yet for the church to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon what is rightly designated the center of the universe. The church is the center of the universe. Its sanctity must be withheld. To fail to do that leads to the devolution of civil society. We'll be back with that and much more when we return from the break. Do remember once again, Politics for Christians, the book by Francis Beckwith, available for all of you. It's a matter of supporting the ministry. We'll send you the book. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or as always, you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When we come back from the break, more on the significance of marriage and why we dare not tamper with it.
Americans must never take for granted the blessings of liberty that we experience in the United States of America. With increasingly militant attacks and restrictions on our liberties as Christians, the penalties for ignorance and inaction in this arena will only grow more severe. Simply put, Christians must be informed and involved in the political process, which is why Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft by Francis Beckwith. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks again, Randy. I'm talking today about an article I read in the Wall Street Journal. The headline, and this was front page, said Pope backs civil unions for gay couples. And in the article, Pope Francis is quoted as saying homosexuals have a right to be part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. No one should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it. And then famously asks, who am I to judge? And the point I was making before the break is that if he can't judge, who can? Of course we can judge. We are never to judge self-righteously or hypocritically. When we judge, we are called to make a right judgment. And of course, again, as mentioned previously, there is a temptation, and that temptation is to yield to cultural norms. And that is going to continue to be pressed upon us. And yet, for the church to yield on this matter is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon what has been rightly designated the center of the universe, which is the church. Saint Cyprian of Carthage said that you cannot have God as your father without having the church as your mother, because it's in the church that you are nurtured. Of course, when you're baptized, you renounce Satan's kingdom and you start living according to the principles of God's kingdom. And then you're forgiven, you're washed, you're cleansed, you're united to Christ, you're incorporated into a body of true believers willing to sacrifice everything for kingdom principles, not doing it our own way, but doing it His way. And then our temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what's happening right now is a denial. It's a denial of natural law. And when we do that, we strike a mortal blow to the foundation of a free society. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Bible is crystal clear respecting gender-bending activities. The New Testament derives its prescriptions against same-sex sexuality from the creation order of Genesis and the prohibitions of Leviticus. And Scripture contends that wholly apart from access to special revelation, general revelation provides sufficient evidence for us to know that God condemns same-sex sexuality. And while the Bible does not condemn same-sex sexuality in some arbitrary, in some capricious fashion, it does carefully define the borders of human sexuality. And why? It does so that our joy may be complete. This is a matter of tolerance rightly understood. Tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue. But tolerance when it comes to truth is a travesty. We ought to recognize that God does not condemn homosexuality in arbitrary terms. He's not capricious. He defines the borders of human sexuality, and He does so that we might be overcome with joy, so that we might experience fulfillment. It doesn't take an advanced degree in human physiology to appreciate the fact that the human body has never been designed for homosexual relationships, and that whether in civil unions or in same-sex marriages. All of these spurious slogans and sound bites, they don't change scientific reality. homosexual relationships can be devastating, not only from a psychological, but also from a physiological perspective. Today, tolerance. Tolerance is being, well, it's being redefined to mean that all views are equally valid, that all lifestyles equally appropriate how we are to live. Rather than capitulating to the culture, however, I think as Christians, we have to be equipped to expose the flaws of today's tolerance. And then do something else. Exemplify what true tolerance is. You know, we've been redefining all kinds of things in modern-day culture. And the redefinition of tolerance in our culture today is a self-refuting proposition. We do not tolerate people with whom we agree. We tolerate people with whom we disagree. If all views were equally valid, there'd be no need for tolerance. With that said, let me add that today's redefinition of tolerance leaves no room for objective moral judgments. A modern terrorist could be deemed as virtuous as Mother Teresa. If you don't have an enduring reference point, societal norms will be quickly reduced to mere matters of preference. So here's the point. True tolerance demands that despite our differences, we treat every person we meet with dignity, with respect. Why? Because they are created in the Imago Dei. They're created in the image of God. They're created as icons of God. So true tolerance does not preclude proclaiming truth, but it does mandate that we do so with gentleness and with respect. Unfortunately, today, people are saying that if you give a counterpoint to the narrative that is prevalent in our culture, you're intolerant. But of course, that's not true. Again, true tolerance does not preclude proclaiming the truth. But we have to do that with meekness and reverence. In a world that is increasingly intolerant of genuine Christian maxims and morals, Christians must exemplify tolerance without sacrificing truth. And of course, we certainly pray that the Holy Father does just that. I think about the fact that Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy holds that marriage as historically defined fosters ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage today, in that sense excluding same-sex couples, does so out of hate and animus. One can only hope, one can only pray that the church does not follow in his train. Redefinition is a crisis today. We're redefining all kinds of things. And it's not just the Roman Catholics. Eugene Peterson did this in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He refrained from using the word homosexuals, opting instead to insert the politically correct phrase, use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex. Of course, not even practicing homosexuals can find fault with Peterson's reframing of the biblical text. And that is because they quite obviously do not consider homosexuality an abuse of sex. From their perspective, it is simply an alternative lifestyle. As I so often put it, it's one thing to curse the darkness. It's another to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Let's not pollute the church, but let us employ generosity, love, friendships that ultimately lead people to the living Lord of the universe that transforms their lives. All of us have besetting sins. All of us need transformation. You, me, and everyone else that takes the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. Well, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, my deep appreciation for all of you who make this broadcast a realistic possibility every day. So long for now.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Christians can't sit this election out. Although the New Testament speaks very little about government and the Christian's responsibility as a citizen, certain principles from the Bible contribute to understanding why a Christian citizen should have an interest in politics. Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith offers readers biblical and theological ways to think about politics and the role of the Christian in a liberal democracy. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more.
According to Politics for Christians by Francis Beckwith, a candidate who embraces Christian ideals, even if he or she is not a Christian, is a candidate that a Christian can support with a clear conscience. Christians in America have the historically unique power to enact laws that advance the common good and must take this special obligation seriously by using good judgment while voting and supporting legislation and political candidates. This is not to say that Christians will always agree on what policies and candidates represent the best option to advance the common good, but there is no doubt that Christians have a biblical mandate to advance it. To receive your copy of Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.